Happy Friday, everybody, and welcome to the FYI podcast, where we talk about faith, life, adulting, finances, relationships, and so much more. I'm Micah Keneally.
I'm Josiah Keneally. We're your hosts. Again, this is the FYI podcast. We're in a mini series right now called Great at Work. We've talked about where are all the great leaders, how to respond when maybe your leader's not so great at work, building a network before you need it. Last week, we unpacked the idea and concepts of excellence and glorifying God. And we just want to say you are invited to join us and hundreds of other young adults this May 17th through 19th, Lake Geneva Camp, Alexandria, Minnesota. It's the YA weekend. You can get $10 off your registration with the promo code podcast when you register at youngadults.today/the-WKND. $10 off with promo code podcast. And I would just say, man, this is one of our favorite weekends of the year because we lift up the name of Jesus. We link together with hundreds of other young adults who want to go after God, grow in our faith. And we're excited to see you there.
Yes, and this is an incredible opportunity because we met with some amazing friends who are actually the sponsors of these episodes for the month of March, and it's GFA Global
Gospel for
Gospel.
Asia.
Oh my gosh, Gospel for Asia.
GFA I know World.
Friends. Yes, and they have an amazing apprenticeship program where you come in and you decide whether you want 3 to 6 months paid to learn how to do missions, learn how to do ministry, learn how to pray for the nations. And one of their dreams and passions is not to have finances become one of the hurdles of saying yes to what God has maybe called you to. So they actually pay for you to be on their campus located in Texas. So check out the show notes if this interests you at all. Connect with some of our friends there, and hopefully you can get that ball rolling when you're called into the mission field.
Oh my gosh. And let's kick it to, I think, just the heart, the jugular of this series. Ooh. Our prayer is, I guess, twofold. One, that you'd be great at work and that you'd find God's great work for your life. That's our heart. That's our prayer with this series. And part of where we find that is in scripture.
Yeah.
From the Garden of Eden, the creation account talks about work and how work is even good. It's part of God's plan and designed for us to contribute, to add value, to make a difference, to not just be spectators on the sidelines, but to be active participants, not passive observers, but active participants in God and bringing heaven here on earth as the hands and feet of Christ. And take it to our verse of the day.
Well, I kind of have a chapter of the day, actually, and it's more or less the whole book of Nehemiah. If you guys have never read Nehemiah, it's probably one of my favorite books.
Same.
I would say Moses is probably my Bible crush, but I'd say Nehemiah is definitely one of those people who puts his hands to work.
I didn't mean same to Moses is not my Bible crush.
I know, but I'm just saying Nehemiah is an incredible person to kind of just read and unpack what God was downloading to him. Essentially, the premise of the book is Nehemiah is serving alongside a king. And he's the cupbearer, right?
That's right.
So he is kind of the forefront man. If somebody tries to poison the king, the first person going down would be Nehemiah. So his, every meal, every single thing that he drinks, his life is at stake. And one day he comes in and he is just beyond distraught. And the king notices this. And for a king to kind of come alongside a cupbearer and ask him a question is like, why is your face so downcast? Like, what's going on? What's wrong with you? And he heard about his people back in his homeland. And essentially the walls of his land have been destroyed. And if you know anything about the walls of a city, the walls are what protect the people within the city from any intruders, any war, any external things that could, you know, have impact on it. And the walls were torn down. And he shared that with the king and he said, do I have your permission? Can I go to my people and rebuild the wall? And the king said, yes, what do you need? So, I mean, in that process of uncovering, I won't share everything if you don't want to know, but if Josiah, you want to fill them in, you sure can.
I love it.
But I think there's some things that Nehemiah goes to Jerusalem and he scouts out the land. He goes, he prays, Lord, give me wisdom, essentially, like asking for wisdom. He's going under the radar, undercover. So they give him like papers and passports to essentially go across all these enemy lines that are have the seal because the king had signed off on all of them, as well as the resources in the process.
Beautiful.
What do you need for the planning process? So it was praying. It was planning. Just like what we do with our lives. We pray that God will give us wisdom. We pray for the right people. We pray for direction. We pray for that. Pray to God that we made the right decision of what school we went to and the career of which we're embarking upon. There's always room to change. Don't get me wrong. But there was definitely in Nehemiah's story, there was the praying, there was the planning, and then there was the rebuilding of the wall. And along the way, Nehemiah essentially had every reason to quit.
Ton of opposition.
From Sanballat, I call him his little thugs because mm-hmm. they kind of come down. And I know Josiah, you just want to fill them in with anything, but.
I mean, I just go right where you're going
yeah.
and where I see you headed mm-hmm. teaching this narrative of Nehemiah is that Sanballat comes not once or twice, but often. Hey, come have lunch with me. Come have lunch, come down. And Nehemiah reaches this point mm-hmm. where he has this incredible response. Not every time he is singing his song, he is running his play. He is in his element, committed to his cause. And he says, I am doing a great work and I cannot come down.
Yeah. So essentially he's literally up on these walls building and these Sanballat and his thugs come by to distract him from the mission, to pull him down from the wall, essentially to kill him.
Yeah.
Like that's the mission.
Distract and destroy.
Yes. Yep. So he's like, this ain't going to happen. He's like, I'm doing a great work and I cannot come down. The wall's not done. I am not coming down. And I think so many times in life, we can want to come down. We want to get off the ladder. We want to come down. We want to get out of the hot sun. We want to have that snack. The distractions come, that relationship we should have never said yes to. We find ourselves in the next best thing to make the most money comes knocking on our door. And we might say yes or tease with that thought. But what if we were a person and people of prayer and commitment? And when the enemy comes, or if the distraction comes, whatever those distractions are, we all are tempted by distraction. What if we were so in tune with what God has called us to and put in our hands and put before us that we could truly look in the eye of whatever that thing is that comes our way and say, I'm doing a great work and I cannot come down. For I'm doing a great work and I cannot come down. And I guess that's our prayer for this next generation, that you would rise against any and all forms of opposition that disguise themselves as a distraction or more alluring than anything. And I'll just read this really quick because he had every reason to quit. Nehemiah had every reason to give up on his dreams of rebuilding the wall for Jerusalem. Resources were short. The volunteers he had recruited were overwhelmed and tired. Sanballat mocked their efforts and plotted against him. Nehemiah even received death threats. Mm-hmm. No one would have blamed him for quitting, right? But Nehemiah is a study of courage, visionary leadership, and perseverance. He instilled courage in his workers by remaining with them and reminding them that God was on their side. He mobilized a plan to provide round-the-clock protection as they worked. Most of all, Nehemiah stayed focused, not on the obstacles and the dangers, but on the vision God had given him to rebuild Jerusalem. And Nehemiah's vision was fueled by what? Prayer.
So good.
And when, I want to say, like, when you feel like quitting, remember God's promises, use your gifts to the fullest, and return again and again to prayer. So,
oh my gosh, in that prayer, we see a brokenhearted Nehemiah.
Mm-hmm.
We see a burdened Nehemiah where he's tearing his clothes. He's weeping. And even his countenance around the king mm-hmm. was noticeable, which had never been noticeable before.
Yeah.
Like the king knew, hey, what's wrong? Like, I can tell you're heavy hearted.
Yeah.
And he goes, my people are in ruin. The walls of Jerusalem have been torn down, and he gets the scepter extended, if you will, and he gets to go sent by the king to rebuild the walls of his people and to restore ancient ruins. Mm-hmm. And I get inspired and invigorated because a great question to ask our listener today is, what breaks your heart?
Mm-hmm.
What are the things that burden you? What are the things that cause you to lose sleep or to pay attention to? Like for us, it's young adults.
Mm-hmm.
It's the intersection of 18 to 30 where there's mm-hmm. so many decisions and so many questions, and just we're drowning in information, starving for wisdom.
Yeah.
For us, it's seeing a world empty that could be filled with the gospel, the hope of Jesus. We're seeing people who are hopeless, and we want them to encounter the hope that we've both found in Jesus. And I think that one of our mentors is a pastor by the name of Nate Rouge. He has told us and others that burden is the birthplace for vision. Mm-hmm. And what he means by saying burden is the birthplace for vision is, for Nehemiah, it's actually like a textbook example of the walls are down. Mm-hmm. It breaks his heart.
His people are in danger.
Yep. And he wants to do something about it.
Yeah.
It's like entrepreneurship at its finest. What's the problem you're going to solve? Mm-hmm. What's the solution that you bring to the table? Yeah. What's the pain point that you're going to bring ease to or comfort? What's the despair you're going to provide hope for? That's and this is what it's about. And in the young adults that I mentor or disciple or lead in it that I've talked to over the past number of years, anytime we talk about career, vocation, mm-hmm. calling, there's the two sides to the same coin. One is income, the other is impact. And it could be one of two different ways. I talk to young adults and they're like, man, my income is really high. I'm crushing it in sales. I'm getting paid the buku bucks mm-hmm. and I'm empty. This feels like the dead end job. I don't know if I can hold out another year because I'm designed for impact. Feel like I'm making enough income, but not a difference. Another way to say it is it's paying the bills, but I'm purposeless.
Yep.
And then sometimes I'll meet somebody like ourselves in ministry. And it's the other side of the coin where they're like, my purpose is off the charts. Mm-hmm. They don't even need to pay me because I do it for free. Like, I love this so much. But then they're struggling to pay bills if they're honest. And I see that sometimes where their purpose is really high, but it's a low paying job. And so maybe they have kids and they've really got to struggle and stretch, or it's a strain financially. And to each person, I think what I would say is if you find yourself in a role where the income is really high and you feel like the purpose or the impact is low, I would say find a place to coach or to serve or to contribute or to volunteer in your church or to volunteer in your community to add value and to contribute. Like, keep the same job, but look elsewhere for your purpose and your fulfillment and your impact. And maybe you are where we've been and your purpose is like, oh man, through the roof, and you're fulfilled at your work and you feel like you've never worked a day in your life. You might need to start a side hustle. Mm-hmm. You might need to do Uber or Lyft or DoorDash or Grubhub or find some sort of side hustle. There's no shame in a side hustle.
Right.
I want to tell somebody that your paycheck is low, your purpose is high. There is no shame in a side hustle. And that's just what I would say along this. But babe, for today's question, mm-hmm. I'd love for you to lean into Nehemiah. Mm-hmm. And to talk about how can the listener live out their faith sincerely 24/7, this year's leap year, 366 or 365 at home, at work, and specifically, how does their faith connect to the workplace?
Wow, that's a great question. I think who you are at home is who you should be at work. You shouldn't be there. You're not two different people.
You're talking congruence.
Yes, you're the same every place you go. If I see you in the grocery store, I pray to God that you're the same person when you're worshiping in church. Like, you're filled with the joy of the Lord. Like, you're encouraging people. You're smiling. You're approachable. You're I don't know, attractive in the sense of
on mission,
but living your best life. And I can see Jesus on you. You know what I mean? Like, that's who we should be everywhere we go. So I would say for the person wrestling and struggling with feeling like they can be themselves on Saturday and Sunday, or maybe only on Sunday, but not the other 6 days of the week, I would really challenge and encourage you to start praying that all of that would be cohesive, because we should not have to be chameleon Christians who walk into a room and we change colors just because the people that are in the room, and we leave the room feeling like we adapted to something that we weren't really meant to be. And then we go to the next place and we do the same thing. we begin to forget who we are and whose we are in that process when we develop this chameleon Christian behavior. And God is not about behavior modification. He is about soul and life transformation. So when you are in community with Jesus and the Word of God each and every single day, you become more like him to live on mission, to be like Nehemiah that can say, yo, boss, you don't love Jesus. I'm like, my death warrant could be any minute because they could be after you. And I'm willing to put myself in this position. And a boss notices that and says, hey, go help your people. Hey, go change the world. Hey, maybe this role isn't for you. And come back when you got it figured out. Like when we talk about the word of faith, faith is not this just fleeting emotion or this fake facade or lifestyle that we plaster on our face on a Sunday and say, oh, God is good. God is good when it feels like we're walking in hell on earth, and God is good when it feels like we're at our best. Like our faith and our faith journey needs to be, taken care of. Like it needs to be saturated in prayer and the word of God each and every single day and live in full submission to that. It can't be, it's not like we're this microwave Christian. We pop in the microwave. We're like, whoa, I'm hot. I'm so good. And then like 10 minutes later, you're cooled off. Like we're like crock pots. Like we should be sitting and bathing in the word of God. Like we should be marinating and we should be getting more beautiful and more like Christ and more flavorful. Because if we're the salt and the light of the earth, then it's a process. Because who I am in every place I go today, I pray that it's congruent. But who I was yesterday, I hope I'm not that same person today, because each day I'm closer to being with Jesus. I should be becoming more like him each and every single day, not circumstantial or chameleon Christian behavior. So,
oh my gosh, I think it's so easy to compartmentalize our faith at church, and our work and our friends is over here, and we cherry pick and we compartmentalize. But what I hear you describing is we are a full, complete person. We're a whole person on a journey of life becoming more and more transformed to the image of God.
For sure.
And I think there's a consistency, a congruence, not this inconsistency, toss back and forth and bebopping around here and there. It's like
anchored.
Yes.
And I think when you're anchored, truly, when it talks about like when you're anchored in life and in the word of God and in who God's created you to be, when the storms come and you're getting whipped around, that anchor is still where it should be. Mm-hmm. It's not like you're drifted up on shore, starting all over, marooned on an island by yourself. It's, wow, that was a wild ride, but thank God we have God because we made it. Like, that's just what I think. When we become more like Christ each and every single day, you will live on mission, and your mission becomes your ministry, and your ministry becomes your mission, because it's one of the same, no matter if you're in the marketplace or literally on a stage being a pastor. It doesn't matter. It's part of the character of Christ being incubated each and every single day in us and saturated in the word of God. And I would encourage you, if you're not praying, if you're not reading the word of God, start there. Those are two things that we should all be doing daily. And we're not called to be sack lunch Christians who think that God packs our lunch and we run outside the door when he has a whole feast and a whole buffet waiting for us each and every single day. Like, you sit down and enjoy the meal. You don't run out the door spilling your food all over, hoping that you're going to get a download from God when we're so about ourselves, versus taking a deep breath and letting him be the person that guides. So even Nehemiah, if you look through the book, I'll just say this, he built the wall, you guys, in 52 days, 52 days. Like even in verse 6, or chapter 6, verse 17, during those 52 days, many letters went back and forth between everybody, the nobles of Judea. And in that day and age, like that's how you communicated, but they kept telling of Tobiah's good deeds. And then they told him everything I said, and Tobiah kept sending threatening letters to intimidate him. There will be times when you feel intimidated by the workload that you're given. There'll be times you feel intimidated by the people around you. There will be times when you feel insufficient or just not worthy of some of the things that God may place before you or how people make you feel in a room. But it says that in this letter, it says they were able to complete the wall because they realized this work had been done with the help of our God. Apart from God, we can do nothing. And if we are apart from him doing everything, we're doing it in a selfish ambition.
Yeah.
And it all just turns into nothing. Like it just, it's a blip on the radar.
Yeah.
And when we get to heaven, it's just going to burn up. But what is going to stay there are the fruits of our labor that were good, honoring, and pleasing to God. And if we can do that,
okay.
I just feel like, I don't know, I just want to be known as hopefully one of those people of the faith. Like if you look in Hebrews, is it chapter 10?
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 10 talks about the people of the faith. And it's just like the heroes of the faith. Like,
yep.
Wow, they did things that matter to God, big and small. And when we get to heaven, hopefully we'll all hear, well done, good and faithful servant, because we have nothing to lose on this side of eternity, but everything to gain when we get there. So,
babe, it's so good. I read about a university president.
Okay.
And he, every year of his like tenure, he decided to take 2 weeks and go work a different job. An example, maybe he worked at a railroad.
Undercover boss.
Before, okay. It was a long time ago. And he ended up taking a different job. Maybe it was at a gas station or a department store or different places. Mm-hmm. And his goal was to not forget what it was like in the outside world.
Ooh,
and to not become so siloed or incubated that he forgot what it was like to be human.
Mm-hmm.
And what it was like to have problems or financial pressures or challenges, or just, it was so easy to get caught up in academia for him that he didn't want to lose touch with the outside world.
That's great.
And I think my challenge to the listener today would be to get outside your comfort zone, go on a field trip.
Oh, you love field trips.
I love field trips. When I was a student, middle school, elementary, high school, I loved field trips, just seeing the world. To this day, I love taking our kids on field trips. But it's get out and see God's goodness,
mm-hmm.
and get out and become a bit like a sociologist. What do you see?
Mm-hmm.
What do you notice? Where are great mm-hmm. leaders in the workplace? What do you notice that, do you see anyone in your workplace or in a workplace that's demonstrating excellence or faith? And don't let it go unrecognized. Recognize it. And so until next time, you're listening to the FYI podcast.